Welcome back to the If She Did It podcast. It is 2023. We are back with vengeance. Like, we are ready to go, bitches. Let's do this. So I took a little bit of a break towards the end of the year. Life got crazy. Next week's episode, I'm actually going to go into like this year's declarations and like all the shit that like went wrong for me in 2022 and just really sharing, because I think it's really inspiring. And I was actually inspired by today's guest, Justina, to do something like this just by hearing her story and how much it inspired me. I want to help give you guys some inspiration and some hope as well. So I'm really excited for that. Now, before we dive in, I do want to let you know that January 16th, 2023, my first program of the year is starting. It's called the Feel Good Sales Portal. And it is such an amazing program. It is something I'm so unbelievably excited about. Anybody that is in business, that especially if you're a coach or service provider, if you're not seeing consistent sales, if you're just feeling really fed up with the way that things are going in your business, maybe you're experiencing interest in your offers but very minimal bites, maybe you have no problem with the concept of selling but that doesn't mean that sales are happening in your business, just all that kind of energy, I want to help clear that for you. The Feel Good Sales Portal is a 6-week live coaching program with unique bespoke support from me to you. You're going to have access to me through a Telegram group. We're going to have our live calls. It's going to be really unmatched of an offer, and the investment is less than $1,000. It is only $997. This is the cheapest it'll ever be. It is such an amazing program. So the link to the sales page is going to be in the show notes. I'm going to mention it a little bit more towards the end of the podcast. And if you have any questions about it, please feel free to reach out to me. You know, I always like drop whatever's going on in my business at the beginning of each podcast. So definitely check it out. Definitely come join us. It's going to be an amazing program. There's an amazing group of people already signed up. Your name is there. You're invited. We would love to have you. So I just wanted to give you guys an update on that program. We start on January 16th, so there's only a few more days of enrollment, but come join us nonetheless. You're going to love it. And if you have any questions, again, don't be afraid to reach out to me on Instagram. But before we dive in, I just want to let you guys know, I want to set the scene. Justina is such an amazing woman. I have been connected with her for honestly a couple years now, I want to say. I think since 2021. And she is so inspiring. She has been on a 4+ year journey becoming a content creator, and her story is phenomenal, in my opinion. She is really going to inspire you, and she's going to show you, or she's going to share the inside look of becoming a content creator and what it really looks like behind what people perceive as an overnight success. So it's a really great episode. I know you're going to enjoy it. It's a very unique episode. So without further ado, this has been like the longest fucking intro ever. Let's dive in. Welcome to the If She Did It podcast with your host, business coach, and business bestie, Becky Fagan. This is your one-stop shop for all things business growth, energetic alignment, strategy, mindset, and a fun touch of spirituality. Nothing is off limits here, and you're bound to leave every single episode inspired, excited, and ready to take massive action in your business. This podcast was created to help create more badass female CEOs and help you see that business gets to be simple, strategic, and fun. Now, let's dive in. Welcome to the podcast, Justina. I am so excited to have you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So let's get started by having you share your story with everybody.
Sounds good. This is a little bit of a weird question because I never really know where to start, but I'll do my best to give a brief synopsis, because when I give the full synopsis, it literally sounds like I've lived like 60 lives. I'm not even exaggerating, but briefly, I am currently a full-time content creator, mainly on Instagram, but expanding to other platforms slowly, as they all do. I'm a psych grad. I went to university for psychology, and I also have a fine arts degree. My parents are immigrants, so I was raised in a very traditional and conservative and also religious manner. And I think that all of those things, I think that I just brought up, are huge factors in kind of who I am right now and why I've chosen to do what I do and the way that I do it. So I don't know which part you want to dive into first.
Well, I think that your like growth to becoming a full-time content creator is so cool and was so awesome because I literally watched it happen. So I would love to dive into how did this even happen? Like, let's start from that beginning of like, what made you want to become a content creator? And what was that journey to actually becoming a full-time content creator?
I think my desire to connect with people and share, and then also just like the natural human desire to be seen and heard and understood, feel like you belong, all kind of came into play of me wanting to be a content creator. But I think me being an artist and also having a background in psychology came into play as well, because as an artist, I express myself through my art, and I kind of see content creation as an art form as well. That's actually how I look at my feed and how I look at everything I post. It's like a composition, and it's a piece of work that all kind of comes together to create a body of work, and it's a cohesive body of work. At least that's what I strive for. But I would say that I started taking it more seriously in 2018. So obviously pre-pandemic, and I am currently based in Ottawa. Ottawa, Canada. And, basically what happened was in 2017, 2018, I made friends with a lot of local, like just getting started photographers. And I just started doing a lot of photo shoots just for fun, no expectations behind it. Although growing up, I always loved to be in the spotlight, and I thought I was going to be a famous singer, and I would make my mom take me to TV show auditions and like singing auditions and stuff like that. And so I always looked for opportunities where I could be in the spotlight, and even it was like kind of unconscious, but I really loved the feeling of even just the process of modeling. That's kind of how it started, was working with local photographers and feeling like I was the only thing that mattered. I know that sounds so like narcissistic, but like I really loved the experience of like learning how to model and creating art with creatives. And then when they started sharing that art, other photographers and creatives would find me and would DM me. And it was a very organic, small thing at first. I think 2018, 2019, I think I was probably 4K, like 4,000 followers, which is pretty like, it's actually a pretty decent following. I think even today, like, I think that's a pretty decent following. There's a lot of power in that. But I always wanted to see how far I could go with it. And, like, even when it was 2,000 followers, 4,000 followers, like, I still acted like it was 100,000. Like, I still acted like that was like the energy that I brought. Like, I was like, thank you so much for 4K. I remember posting about it. Like, I was so excited. Like, every little inch of growth was important to me. But I remember that in 2020, when the pandemic started, in like March or April, and like the world just kind of paused, I didn't know what to do with myself. And I think that a lot of my healing and my taking care of myself was getting consistent at creating content and realizing what it was that I wanted to put out there and what I wanted to be known for. And literally in 2020, that was my first burst of growth. At least I took it as that. I think I went from 4,000 followers to 13K. And for me, that was like huge. I was like, oh my God, wow. I like watched it happen so quickly too. And I started to see the power of social media. And I remember one of my posts had like 1 million views, and I was like, 1 million. Like, I think I cried when I saw that. And it dawned on me too, that I was like, hey, people are seeing me. What do I want to say? And I got really excited, and I think I thought that from that point on, it was going to be smooth sailing. And because I went from 4K to 13.7, I was just going to get to 100K in a few months. Cause it was just like, it was just, that was the trajectory. Everything was like all of a sudden getting lots of views. But that's not at all what happened. 2020, 2021. And then even last year, 2022, I was plateaued at about 13.9K for 2 years. And I was posting just as consistently, if not more, than 2020. And because of the background that I come from, a lot of my family members were kind of questioning what I was doing. And they're like, okay, you're like, you know, 20 something, this is kind of embarrassing. You can't talk about your mental health on social media. People are not going to take you seriously. People are not going to want to hire you. People are not going to want to date you because they're going to think that you're going to put stuff out there and expose stuff. So it just like, I had a lot of like friction and a lot of people saying, okay, maybe you should like not do this. And it was even like friends of mine who like didn't really believe in it or see the legitimacy of it, which kind of like pushed me a little further. But like, I'm not gonna lie, like the 2 years before my like burst last year, which was, by the way, I went from 13.9K to almost 70,000 followers in like 3 months. But like literally right before that, that was probably the hardest time when I almost gave up on myself. Cause I was like, okay, you know what? Like I've been showing up. I've been doing the work. I've been, you know, doing all of the things that I was supposed to do. I was using hashtags. I was using whatever. I was editing photos nicely. I was posting nice photos. I was doing all the things I was supposed to do. And it just wasn't taking off. And I felt very discouraged. And I felt like it wasn't in the cards for me. That being said, I think what switched it up for me was at the end of 2021, I made a vision board and like a list of things that like I wanted to see happen for me in 2022. And it was like a non-negotiable. And like, I remember that the energy I put into that list and the vision board was like a very high frequency and a very like charged, like this has to happen. And I remember that I wrote down 50K. 50K was like the goal. And then I remember when my friends told me, you have to shoot for 100K, because then if you say 100K, you're going to definitely surpass 50. And I wrote it down. And then I think that part of what actually made it happen was challenging myself to do things that I haven't done on social media before, which was reels. I never did reels. So I started posting reels and making reels. I started to really like nail an aesthetic and like decide, okay, like this is how I want my page to feel. This is like the colors I want it to have. This is like kind of the branding I want to use. And then I just stopped attaching myself so much to the result of what my content was like, how people were reacting to my content. I was just putting it out there. And that's literally when like the first video that went viral was in, I think it was May or June of 2022. And it was actually 3 weeks after I posted it. So it wasn't immediate. It maybe had like 1,000 views / likes and then whatever. And then I remember I was a guest at a wedding, and every time I checked my phone, I had like 1,000 more followers. I was like, it was like 15, 16, 17, 18. And then like I hit 20 and I was just like, it was just like an out of this world, out of body kind of experience. Cause it was just kind of like so validating that the relentless, like showing up and putting in the work and just like detaching from the results, it just like, it paid off. And I think I fully didn't even know if it was going to. So it was truly a magical feeling. It was probably a huge highlight of my last year.
So many different like things that I want to pull from that. So first of all, I just want to point out, like, I love that you made the point of like, you had two, first of all, you've been working your ass off for years. And second of all, you had 2 years of complete like stagnation, essentially. Yeah. and yeah. you still kept going, even though you had setbacks, you still kept going. And that's just like such a testament, because so many people, when they see it, they're like, oh, that person was like an overnight success. And it's like the jump happened very quickly, but it took so long to get you there. And that's yeah. like, I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Okay. So I kind of have questions on both ends. So the first one is like, before you made that jump, before, because I feel like just watching you, so much has shifted since that leap in followers happened for you. And I love seeing that for you. But before that happened, what did content creation look like for you? Like, did you have brand partnerships when you were more at the like 13K mark? Like, were you able to get brand partnerships? Were you able to get paid? Like, what did content creation look like for you then?
I did, but I also had absolutely no idea what I was doing. And I was just like, took every single opportunity that was like presented to me, and I did not negotiate anything. And I just like, I remember I was like, one of the first paid posts I had was like $100 per post. And I was just like I took a picture of it and I sent it to my mom, and I was like, this is real. Like, this is real money that I made from social media, and I got free clothes. Like, I got free clothes, so I'm not going to be cold in the fall and winter. So anyways, I did get some partnerships. They were more like local and stuff like that, but I wasn't pitching myself to brands. I wasn't seeing myself as someone that was super like brandable. I think I was still learning how to just make good content. You know, I was still learning, what is a good photo? How do I edit a photo? How do I, like, you know what I mean? So I think that a lot of even just learning how to be a creator, especially if you're someone that does it yourself, because I have had no team behind me, like no person editing my stuff, except for like within the last few months, I've had some support in different ways in different projects. But prior to that, let's say between 2018 to let's say August of 2022. For the majority of the part, I did it myself. So that being said, I was still like learning how to hone in my skills. And also, to answer your question, no, I was barely making money on social media. That's why I was consistently doing jobs that I hated. And I actually was in the mentality that I think a lot of people are. I came from a background where money was something that you had to struggle for. It was honorable to work hard for money. It was honorable to make sacrifices for money, to do things that you don't like for money. That's how you make money. So for me, it was like, I didn't even think about really social media at the time as something that could make me money. Cause it just, my brain didn't work that way. It just didn't.
Yeah. So yeah. Whenever the jump in following happened, like, cause I'm super curious about this, like how quickly did things start to change? Like, can you almost like paint a timeline for us of like what happened that led to this thing that like how did it all come about? Once that, like, did you see immediate, like, it, like, did people immediately reach out to you? Like, what did it look like
when it first happened? I heard from a lot of people, came out of the woodwork, and like that I hadn't heard from in years. And I'm not even talking about brands. I'm just talking about people that, like, let's say I went to high school with, or people that I knew, like people that I didn't speak to for years, were like, oh my God, like, how'd you do this? Oh my God, like, you have so many followers. And I'm just like, I literally don't have time to like answer 25 people in the last like 10 minutes who are asking me for like literally stuff that I've been doing for the last like 4 years. And by the way, you were probably someone that did not think I could do this. And now, like, you want to know how I did it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
A lot of people came out of the woodwork in like May, June. And then, I noticed more brands reaching out to me and like being willing to pay like bigger numbers. And also, that was part of my motivation in wanting to grow my following. I was like, in my mind, I imagined 100K. I'm like, okay, 100K means I could probably charge like at least like, you know, $1,000 for a post. And then I don't have to work a corporate job. That was actually like how my brain was working in regards to planning that out. But okay, there's also the other side of this, because yes, I saw more people reaching out to me, but it wasn't exactly what I pictured, because the influencer space, especially right now, especially post-pandemic, is so oversaturated. It seems like everyone wants to be an influencer right now. And technically they can be. Like, I mean, everyone is an influencer. We all influence each other and we're all, you know, in unique ways. However, the problem is that I don't think enough people lean into their uniqueness to do that. And like, there's like, I feel like so many people are like, just like a copy paste of what everyone else is doing. And it's just the same stuff. And the reason I bring this up is because it's not like people think that once you reach this point of having a lot of followers, you're just raking in the dough and you have all these brand partnerships, but it's just like, they don't realize how competitive it is. And like, I'm not the only person out there that has a lot of followers. You know what I mean? And then like it's competitive to the point where they don't only look at your followers. They look at like all these little stats as well. And like, they look for very specific things. So it's amazing that I had the opportunity to be able to grow like that, but I didn't realize all of the little like nitty gritty things that'll come after that. And like, I would still be rejected. It's not like I would reach this point of like this one success and then everything else was going to be smooth sailing after that. Like, yes, I did have some brands reach out to me. I've reached out to brands. I've made money from that. But I've heard the saying, it was like, the brighter the light, the darker the shade. Mm-hmm. So it's also like, you know, the higher you are, the harder you fall. There's definitely been, I mean, we're kind of getting into a different topic now, because there definitely were some like very dark things that came out of me growing, but we don't have to go there yet. I know you're just asking for a timeline of what happened exactly when I did start growing. And the answer to that is, yes, I did have a lot of brands reach out to me. I've had a lot more success with brands hearing me when I reached out to them. Mm-hmm. But long answer short, it's not all, you know, rainbows and butterflies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So what was the point where you were like, I'm going to quit my job and go into this full time?
Even though my brand is like health and wellness and like mental health and all this stuff, I just happen to exist in such a sexy woman body that, men. Okay. So the few things that went viral last year, and this is a bit of the dark side as well. Like, I had a lot of hate on some of my reels and stuff because men would assume that I was an overnight sensation because of my OnlyFans that did not exist. Like, I didn't have an OnlyFans, and I was against the idea of having one for a very long time. And all of a sudden, and I think it was like August or so, which this is interesting because I made an OnlyFans in October. So that's just a little timeline for you. In August, I got like hundreds and hundreds of comments on this one video calling me a prostitute, that I'd be useless without a vagina, that I have sold my soul, and just all this stuff. And it was on a stupid reel that had nothing. I wasn't showing anything. It was just like, anyways, it was a trend of, it doesn't matter. But I was so shocked by the amount of hatred, negativity, misogyny in these comments. And it was mostly from men who clearly had families or wives and had no basis for what they were saying. It was just like a lot of, just crap. And I was so affected by this that I think I took a step back from social media for like 3 weeks. And I just needed to sit with myself and be like, I don't know if I want this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want this. And also, I just felt so offended because I was like trying so hard to balance this like good girl image and this wholesome girl image and like do it like grow myself in a way with integrity and not have to sell my body. And that's just like, just all these ideas that I was raised with of like what a woman should be and what a noble woman is and like a way to make money and all this stuff. And I was also at that point reaching a point in my corporate career where I was just absolutely unsustainable, and I was so empty from the lack of passion that I had for it, and how uninspired I was by the people I was surrounded with there, that all of these things together, I was like, you know what, like, people are going to say these things about me clearly, regardless of whether I have an OnlyFans or not, because I didn't never had an OnlyFans, and people were still like accusing me of having one, and just saying all these things that weren't true, just simply weren't true about me. And then two, I was like, there's like this idea of selling your body where it's like, okay, but me going to a corporate job that I hate for 40 years, like, how is that not selling my body? You know what I mean? Right. And doing something I hate. So it just all started to turn into a no-brainer, because I also had like so many DMs asking me to start an OnlyFans for years, and I just never did it because I was too afraid. And I was really afraid of the backlash that would have with my family and friends. And anyways, I had a lot of fears. All of that to say that a combination of my growth, hatred of working a corporate job and having a boss and having to be stuck in one place, and then also just like this realization that I have nothing to do with what people say about me on the internet, caused me to create this OnlyFans. And because of that, I was able to be like, holy shit, I'm free. Like that first month, like, it just completely replaced my income, like seamlessly almost. And I was like, oh my God. And like, it's like, I created this for myself, you know? And it was like, I don't know. We could talk about that more, but I don't know if you want to say anything.
I just think that that's so cool. Like, how cool is that, that you took such a negative,
yeah,
and were like, you know what? Fuck everyone. I'm going to do something for me. And that has allowed you to quit your job. Like, I think it's amazing. I think that that is so cool that you're able to solely like leverage that to do whatever the fuck you want in life. Like,
mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like, I was already posting like stuff with me in bikinis on Instagram and stuff like that. And I also noticed that content had a different kind of demographic that enjoyed it. And like, they really enjoyed it. So I was like, hey, if I'm already posting this stuff for free, I might as well just like, and like, by the way, like, I don't post explicit content on my OnlyFans, and like, I have no judgment for anyone that does, but I personally don't. And it's just so interesting how I'm literally posting the same stuff that I post on Instagram, maybe slightly more, slightly different context, but I'm actually like making bank. And the stigma behind OnlyFans is so like rotten and rooted in hatred of women and the like desire to oppress women and control them, that it just feels very liberating to say fuck it and do it and make people uncomfortable. Because honestly, like, that's how anything was ever, like, any positive change has been sparked from that, you know? So
mm-hmm. Yeah. So haven't you, like, from what I've seen, so from the outside looking at it, looks like you've like literally made friends from getting onto OnlyFans and like gone on trips because like of all of that. Like, is that true?
Yes.
That's so, like, look at all those positive. I think that is so awesome. Not to like make this an episode like promoting everybody to get an OnlyFans, but like, if you want to, guys, do it. Yeah. But I just think it's like, I think it's awesome that you were able to do that.
Yeah, no, and it's definitely not for everyone. And to be completely honest, it's not a long-term plan for me. And I think that for a lot of people, it isn't,
mm-hmm.
but I think that for a lot of women, it's empowering because they're using something that has been used to shame them for so long, which is like, we are sexualized just for existing. Like, I could be walking down the street in a turtleneck and be sexualized, and I have,
yes.
And I could just be posting a reel of me cooking a salmon and some man will comment, oh my God, like, look at those jugs or something, you know? So it's like, no, like, if you want to see my body and if you're going to make commentary about that, you better fucking pay, bitch, you know? And, And I think a lot of women are empowered by that, and they feel like they're capitalizing off of a system that's been used to harm them for so long. And that space and that financial freedom allows us to actually like sit with ourselves and be like, you know what, like, what do I actually want out of this life? Because in a corporate job, I didn't have that space or that time or that, you know what I mean? So, I'm also in a space where I'm like, okay, like, cause I have other aspirations. Like I want to have a brand and I want to be able to host like workshops and I want to move to the States. Cause I'm currently in Canada. I want to move to the States and have a house and, all this stuff. And it's like, in order to get there, I'm building out my plan, and OnlyFans is actually allowing me to do that. So
yeah, that's amazing. So how much of your time goes to like creating the content for OnlyFans, and how much of your time goes to like figuring out what the fuck else you want to do with your life? And like, if you want to like, and like working on, if you even are expanding your content creation through brand deals and things like that.
Very interesting question, because this is all still very new and fresh. I've had an OnlyFans for about like 3.5 months now. And I would say that like October, I took a trip, and on that trip, it was a trip that we planned for OnlyFans content. And it was about like 3-4 days of just straight shooting like 40 to 50 outfits. And it was in a beautiful place in the States, and, just for privacy reasons, I'm not going to go into where, who, what, when, you know, but, that actually was a very good strategy, because in that like 4 or 5 days, we created enough content for months. You know what I mean? So that being said, with that kind of strategy, it's like, it doesn't involve me having to get up and make fresh content every day. You know what I mean? That being said, I probably spend around an hour or two on OnlyFans every day, sometimes less depending what I do, sometimes more. And in regards to social media planning, it's an interesting question, because, okay, I spend a lot of time. I don't think people realize how much time it takes to like edit a reel and stuff. Like, so for example, I worked with NYX in the last year. I worked with Lasenza. I worked with SheFit. I worked with a few brands. And for me, I don't take any opportunity lightly. And I think that any chance I have to express myself on social media, like anything I put out there represents me and like is part of my like legacy or like my body of work, and I want to represent myself well and in a certain way. So it is very time consuming, and it requires a lot of like attention to detail. And I'm currently in the process of kind of planning out my next few months on social media and really trying to lean into especially what my female followers want, because I didn't realize, I had no idea that the stuff that went viral was going to attract a lot of male followers. And that's not my target audience, even though I love you guys. Thank you so much. Cause without you, I wouldn't be where I am today. But you know, my target audience has always been young women. And like, I'm a young woman who I would say in the last like 10 years or even my whole life, I feel like I've been through a lot of experiences, and, these experiences have made me want to connect with others who've been through similar things. Like I haven't talked about this on social media a lot. I've probably alluded to it a little bit, but I went through like a 5-year, like super abusive relationship, and it was like with a narcissistic person. And, something that really helped me that I haven't talked about before, but like, I watched a lot of YouTube videos of doctors or people talking about narcissists and how they operate and, how to recover from a narcissist or like a trauma bond. And then I also like felt like content on social media that like helped me feel seen. And I also dealt with disordered eating and dieting. And obviously like I'm someone that like, I love to work out, and you can see that from my social media. I share that a lot, but, I think the fitness culture could be really toxic. So like, I really want to be this safe space for women where they feel like they're allowed to be human and they're allowed to love these things, but also be aware of like how they can be harmful and how, you know, too much of something can be bad, and how, you're allowed to be who you are and you don't have to fit a certain mold. I feel a little bit like a fraud. Sometimes I have imposter syndrome because I'm like, oh shit. Like sometimes I try too hard to be perfect. Like I definitely struggle with perfectionism and I want to be perfect. And that kind of goes against what I want my message to be. So it's a hard balance, but like, I think what sets me apart too, is that I am pretty transparent about my process and figuring stuff out and being like, you know what, today I felt this way and I realized this. And then like, I'll have so many people be like, oh my God, I deal with that too, you know? Yeah. So sorry. I don't even know what the question was now.
I have to be honest. I don't fully remember it either.
Sorry.
It's okay though, because everything you said was just, I think it was great. And I will say, like, as somebody, I don't know if it's because I know you, like, obviously not in person, but like we've been connected for a long time, or I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I definitely think that, I mean, I don't follow that many influencers, but I definitely think that like you are, I think that you are one of the most relatable content creators I've come across and the most like genuine and, you know, not to put like my coaching cap on in the middle of an interview, but like the perfectionism thing is like, everybody struggles with it. Just because you struggle with perfectionism doesn't mean that you're a fraud in your own space and that you're, you're distorting the message or anything. Like, I think that you're so real and that's what we need. And literally like listening to your talk, I'm like, this bitch is going to change the world. Like, let's just like wait and see it happen. Like I really feel that. But it's true. Like you just have such a vision and so much passion and it's so cool to hear your story and to hear more about it. So just to circle back for a minute on content creation, because I know so many, it's such a, interesting topic for so many people. What do you feel like based on the experience that you've had so far with like witnessing, like what it's been like for you to pitch brands, what it's been like when brands come to you and like what they're willing to spend and things like that. Like, what do you hope your future with content creation is and like brand partnerships? Like, what does that look like, do you think, at least in this moment?
This is actually something that I've been thinking about for literally the last like 5 years. Like before I even had like 4,000 followers, I remember being like, by the time I'm 30, and by the way, I'm 26 right now. So I remember being like 22 and being like, in my 30s, I'm not even gonna have to like worry. It's just going to be easy. And I'm going to like, if I choose to have kids, like they're going to send me baby strollers and I'm not going to have to worry about that. You know, that's something specifically I remember thinking. And I see myself working with, because okay, it's normal that in your startup as a content creator, you will take every opportunity you can to, you know, be represented by a brand or work with a brand. Cause you're like, oh my God, like I'm reputable. Like I'm an actual, this legitimizes what I'm doing. Like a brand wants to work with me, but in the future, like I want to be more specific and intentional about the brands that I work with and be like, okay, like, does this align with what my brand is? Does this align with who I am and what I preach to people? Right. Cause, for example, like you see celebrities do it all the time. Like, this is an example. I don't know if Kim Kardashian is actually vegan, but like she's recently, I think she had like a, what do you call it? What, the Beyond Meat or something? Mm-hmm. Like, I think she had like a video where she was like cooking like the fake nuggets. And I was like, okay, there's no way that Kim Kardashian actually, like, she's not promoting a lifestyle that she actually lives. Cause first of all, I don't think that she actually cooks her own food. And that's main thing. So like, that's what I mean. It's like, I want to work with more, like, I want to be able to consistently work with brands that align with who I am. Mm-hmm. And how I see this happening as well is, okay, this is something I need to share. Content creation and like not having a team in the long run is not sustainable. I got really burnt out from just like running my own social media all by myself. So like for myself specifically in the next few years, I definitely see myself like building a team where I have like a manager, I have an assistant, I have this person doing this. And just like, what do you call that when you give tasks away? What do you call that?
A virtual assistant?
Yo, there's a word where you like, where you give tasks offload. No, what's the word? Anyways, you
offloading works. I'm not good with words either when things like that happen.
There's a word where you like focus on the stuff that you're good at, and then the stuff that like drains you and you're maybe like it's tedious, you give to other people to do. Anyways,
oh my god, like, why is this not coming to me there? Okay,
you know what I mean though, right? You know what I mean. But like, yeah, so I see myself working with more brands that are aligned with who I am. I see myself building a team. I want to say like, I want it to feel easier, because the grind and the hustle building something is just like, it is a lot of work. It is a lot of hustle and it's a lot of grinding, but I do want to build a system where, you know, let's say there's 4 major brand partnerships a month. And then honestly, in my ideal world, I'm like working 2-3 days a week and the rest of it, nobody else, like no one knows what I'm doing, and that's fine. Like I could be painting in my studio. I could be going for a walk. Like I truly believe, I used to think that success was working all the time and hustling and grinding, because that's what I was doing a lot of, but realizing the burnout and like the impact on your health, I'm just like, okay, my dream life is, okay, I'm going to work my ass off to like make an empire for myself, but then I'm going to actually like sit my ass down and like enjoy it. You know, I'm not going to be like on my feet every single day. And does that make sense?
Yes. And I love that vision. I think that that's awesome. Okay. Well, I can ask you like so many questions. I think this has been I'm sure that for everybody that listens, it's like super eye-opening to hear this. But just to like close it out so that we're not here all day and making people listen to hours of podcast.
Which I can do, by the way, just let me know.
Yeah. Me too.
If you want. Yeah,
for sure. I feel that. But to close it out, for people that are listening, because they're like intrigued and maybe they've already started their journey trying to become a content creator, or they want to become a content creator. Do you like, is there anything you would want to say to that person?
1,000,000%. The first thing that comes to mind is, if you are just getting started on your content creation journey, or if you're somewhere in the middle, don't get discouraged and don't let the numbers matter that much to you, because they don't. And in the long run, like even Oprah Winfrey said this, I mean, like Oprah didn't like make it till she was in her 30s, you know, and like Ashley Graham, Iskra Lawrence, like there's so many like big successful people who have experienced rejection. And like the nature of the game is, you are going to get 11 likes on something. You are going to get 200 views. You're going to get like, you know, you're going to have that happen before the big break. And like, don't put a timeline on your breakthrough either. Just put the intention out there, show up consistently, even when you don't necessarily feel like it. Like discipline is so important, and like being committed to your vision. And like, honestly, if you have those things, like there is nothing you can't do. Mm-hmm. So like, and like, just lean into the fact that you don't know everything. Lean into the fact that you're not going to be perfect right away. Lean into the fact that some of the stuff you're going to make is going to suck. And like, maybe people are just not going to receive it well. Like it is going to happen, and you are going to mess up, and you're going to say things that some people will be offended by. And like, you might not even be meaning to, but like, it's just like, it's all a part of it. And like, until you learn to be uncomfortable with that, and like, that's when the real blessings are going to flow through, and when the miracles are going to happen.
That was beautiful. I love that. Thank you. Thank you for being here. This was so great. Thank you for sharing all of that. Thank you, girl.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Okay, y'all. I feel like all of you probably really enjoyed that episode. I so enjoyed like getting to hear Justina's journey, because I've gotten to witness it and we've been connected for a long time, and getting to have her share it, I think, was so awesome. And she's built so much for herself, and I think that's so inspiring. For those of you that want to connect with her, the links to her social media will be in the show notes. And just circling back, so you have a few more days to get into the Feel Good Sales Portal. This program is literally something that I'm so obsessed with. We have entrepreneurs at all different levels in it, but really the goal is for you to find the sales strategy that is going to help you up level your business. So we're going to cover sales from the perspective of marketing, messaging, and sales. We're going to bring energetics into it. It's going to be a really fun program. It's also like an absolute steal of an investment. So I'm going to really encourage you to take a peek, reach out to me on Instagram if you have any questions, and come join us because this program is going to completely shift your business and set you up for so much success in 2023. Like, it is the perfect thing to start your year. So head on over to the show notes to connect with Justina, to check out the Feel Good Sales Portal, and shoot me a message on Instagram if you have any questions before you lock in your spot. But definitely go lock in your spot. The program, the first call has not been scheduled yet, but the program itself does begin on Monday, January 16th. So it is time to snag that spot. And I will see you next week on the Issue Data Podcast.